We started last week in this new series of lessons where we're asking the question, have you ever played the what-if game? Okay? What-if is about different scenarios that we oftentimes imagine in our mind of what would happen otherwise if this. What if this, what if that, and so forth. So we ask ourselves these kind of questions. What would happen if... Okay, I did this instead of that. Sometimes it can be as simple as if I turn left instead of right, if I pick door number one instead of door number two. What would happen if? Okay, what would happen if this were to take place? Okay, what if it doesn't work? You ever played that game? What if? What if it doesn't work? Then what are we going to do? Or how about what if they don't show up? They promise they're going to be here. What if they don't show up? Then what? And what if he doesn't keep his promise? Ever played any of those what-if kinds of scenarios and games in your mind and wondering what would happen if? We do this kind of after-the-fact thing where we play this what basically Monday morning quarterback kind of thing where we're kind of second-guessing ourselves, looking after the fact and saying, boy, if I would only have done... this, okay, or if only they would have. It's really easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, isn't it? After everything has already happened, then we can make the right decision, okay? But we like to play this what if kind of a game, and if only I would have done this or that or what have you. If I had it to do over again, play that game a lot also. And so we ask this question, what if, and here's one for you. What if algebra teachers are really pirates and are using us to find the X? What if? Okay? It's a whole lot of what ifs. But what we're doing in this study is we're doing the what if game, and this is the biblical version. Okay? So what that has to do with is that we're looking at scenarios of biblical issues and asking what if. Okay? So basically the idea behind this for us is to challenge us to look at and second guess ourselves now while we have the opportunity. Okay? To go ahead and play Monday morning quarterback now so that when we're standing in judgment before God, we don't find ourselves saying, if only I had done this or if only I hadn't done that. Okay, so that's really what I'm trying to do with this series of lessons. Let's look at these things now so we don't have to worry about that in the judgment. Okay? So this morning, what if you started giving as you have been prospered? That's our scenario for today. What if you started giving as you have been prospered? Now, I know, here we go again, right? Okay? Some of you are here visiting, it's the first time some of you are here, I come to this church and right away, what do? They're talking about money. Okay, that's all these folks ever do, these preachers, all they want is just money, 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 right? Okay? Well, one thing we need to understand about this is that giving is an important part of our Christian life. And it's just as important as things like forgiveness. We don't have a problem talking about forgiveness, do we? Or how about worship? Or how about baptism? Or prayer? And a whole lot of other things that we don't have a problem talking about and studying about, but for some reason when it comes to giving and money, we just go, oh, here we go. You see? God has instructed us about giving. And again, it's just as important as all these other things. So we need to understand it that way and take it just as seriously as all these other things are. Okay? Here's something that you might not ever have really thought of. God does not need our money. Okay? So we're not talking about giving so that God can go out and buy him a new hat with his name on it. Okay? And God does not need a gold-lined goblet with his name on it, nor does he need a gold-plated iPhone cover for his phone, okay? In other words, there are no stores in heaven that God goes shopping at where he needs money, okay? So it is not about God getting money. But you know what? Every month when Tom goes to pay the electric bill for the building here, he has to actually send money. He can't call the electric company and say, oh, you remember this is for a church? And they go, oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. You don't have to pay that bill. It doesn't work that way. We live in a monetary world with a monetary system. And so though we are a church, we need to have money to pay our bills and do all the things that we have to do and accomplish for the Lord. And that involves all the stuff of paying for the building. And yes, it involves paying the preacher. I don't know why we do, but we have to pay the preacher. All of those kind of things, because, you know, I can't go to the grocery store and say, you know, I want to buy all these groceries, but, you know, I'm the preacher. And they go, oh, that's okay. You're the preacher, so just go ahead and take them. Wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't work that way, you see, because we operate in a world where we need money. And so that's why, you know, we take up a collection. That's what God tells us to do that, you see. And so that's what that is all about. But this lesson this morning is not just about giving of our money, okay? Giving also includes of ourselves. I want to call your attention to what Paul said in Romans 12 in verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, is that not giving? Does that not fall under the category of giving? When he says to offer our bodies, we take an offering of money. Well, we also need to be offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. He even goes on to say, this is your true and proper worship. Some translations say your spiritual act of worship. So I want you to look at it this morning. We're not talking just about giving of our money. In fact, the thing I really want to emphasize more is the giving of ourselves. Okay? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And what he's doing is making a contrast between the dead animal sacrifices that were required under the law to a living sacrifice of ourselves to God. And wherein we would respond to God like this, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I would add on to there, today. Okay? What do you want me to do today to serve out your purpose? As we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto Him. Because you see, the reality is so often, don't we get up in the morning, we put our feet on the floor, and we get up out of bed and we go, boy, I got this to do today, I got this to do today, and we go through our day, and here's all the stuff I got to do. I don't even stop to think about what is God's purpose for me today. You see, one of the things that we can begin to realize when we're having this kind of a focus is that what my purpose is may not be what God's purpose is for me today. And not only that, but sometimes what my purpose is may be in conflict with what God's purpose is for me today. The only way that I can find that out is when I have this kind of an approach of saying, God, what do you want me to do for you today so that I can serve out your purpose? Okay. This part of giving, it says in the text that we read as we began, has to do with this idea of being prospered, to give as you have been prospered. Okay? Well, here's a question for you. What does that mean? Prosperity, to be prospered. What does that really mean? Have you ever really thought about it? Well, a simple definition from Webster's dictionary basically is this: to succeed in an enterprise or activity, especially to achieve economic success. So when we think about prosperity, that's usually what comes to mind, isn't it? It's about what? Money. okay? And we're considered prosperous if we have enough money to do the things that we need and want to do. Then we are prosperous or successful. But let's take a look at that word again. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, here's what he says again. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Okay? Well, in the Greek language in which that was written, the word there for prospered is this, eudo. And here's what it means. To help on one's way. Now that's interesting. Do you see any mention in that definition about money? None there. Just simply to help on one's way. Now, what the extended use or explanation of that basically in the context of Corinthians is this. The continuing tense or present tense suggests, okay, the successive circumstances of varying prosperity as weeks follow weeks. In other words, that as one week follows another, whatever the prosperity that I have had for that week, that I'm able to give back to God according to that prosperity for the week or that helping that I've had along the way. Well, why is it important for us to understand that in this way? Not just simply as financial success, but rather help that we receive along the way. Well, I want to suggest to you, and Paul here, again, uses this framework and this idea here. Look at how he says it here. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money, what? In keeping with his income. Okay? God required under the old law a tithe or 10% from the Israelites. They were required to give. And by the way, they were to give that out of the first fruits of what they had. Not, you know, at the end of the week, they kind of look at what they have left over and go, okay, let me see if I can get 10% out of this. I can only get 8%. I'll just give that to the Lord. That just simply was not allowed. You gave to God first, and it was an issue of faith. That whatever you needed for the rest of the time, God was going to provide because you acted in faith and gave to Him first, as He has prospered you. Why would God require anything less of us today? So we basically kind of use that 10% as a baseline, at least that. Okay? Look at what he said to the Israelite people through the prophet Malachi. Bring in how much? The whole tithe into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. Now, by the way, that's not food for God. Okay? God doesn't, you know, need a leg of lamb to because he gets hungry. That was provision for the priests. Those that worked in the temple, you say, so that they would be provided for. And then he goes on to say, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Isn't it interesting that God, concerning that issue, challenges us to test him? Now, normally, we don't like to think about testing God, okay, because that could be kind of dangerous sometimes, isn't it? But here, God is challenging us to test Him. Give what you're supposed to give and see if I don't bless you more than you can even imagine. Okay? But that kind of goes back to a series of studies we had a while back in that whole issue of do we believe God or not, you see, when He says that. But here's the thing. Do we really realize where all of our blessings come from? Okay. For instance, that job that you have, whether it's a new or old job, where did it come from? Okay. How about that big fancy house that you live in? Or maybe that small unfancy house you live in. Where did it come from? How about that really nice sports car that you drive? Okay? Where did it come from? You say, well, I bought it with the money I earned at my job. Right? And I'm really proud and happy of the fact that I bought this car with my money from my job. And I can park it in my garage. Right? Well, how about the groceries that you buy at the grocery store, the food that you get, or the clothing that you're wearing right now? Where do they come from? And we say, well, I bought them with my money. Isn't it interesting how we keep using the word my all the time? It all belongs to me because why? I worked for it. Well, I really don't want to bust your bubble too bad, but I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't belong to you. Okay, those clothes that you're wearing right now, they're on loan from God. Okay, you need to look at it that way. All right? And that car that you drove here in or rode here in this morning, that doesn't belong to you either. It belongs to God. And yes, if God wants to have a dent in the fender of that car that He's letting you use, don't worry about it because it's His car anyway. Okay? So don't get so upset about it. All right? So we really need to recognize and understand that the things that we have, all of them come from God. We wouldn't have those things had God not given them to us. So when we start thinking too highly of ourselves and thinking that we're the ones who provided all of this, maybe sometimes God will drop us down a notch or two. You see? It calls us to rethink where everything comes from. To begin with, right? Here's what James has to say about this. In verse 17, he says, every good and every perfect gift is from where? From above. Coming down from the Father of lights, okay, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good and perfect gift. So, don't you consider all the things that you have? You know, gifts. You know, they come from God. But wait a minute. Let's go back up one verse. You notice something that he says in verse 16? Do not be deceived. You see, that's something that Satan does to us very easily, doesn't he? As we were just talking about, he deceives us very easily into thinking that we're the ones who got all this stuff. I think that's why James puts this in here. Don't be deceived. You didn't earn that stuff. God gave it to you. Yeah, you may have gone to the job that God gave you, and you worked, as you should, to get those things. But the reason you even have that job is because God gave it to you. See? So don't let Satan deceive you into thinking that you're taking care of yourself, providing everything that you have of your own. You wouldn't have any of it had God not blessed you. You see? So we need to keep that in its proper perspective. But again, we're talking about giving as we have been prospered, right? God, then, according to that definition of prosper, is helping you on your way financially. That's what it means. Okay? He's helping you on your way financially. These blessings that God gives us then require a response from us. And that's where us giving back to God comes in. You see, when we recognize that they come to us from God as His way of helping us along the way in this life, then we should be responding accordingly by giving back to Him what He has asked us to give. But what about not the financial part, but the spiritual part? Are we not to give as we have been prospered there also? Well, notice what Paul says back in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. In view of God's mercy. What does that mean? Well, when we go back and we look at the fact that we receive mercy from God instead of justice. In other words, that what we deserve because of our sin is death. But God did not give us death. Instead, He gave us grace and mercy. Okay? And so when we keep that in mind, right, then we should be more willing to give of ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. Okay? Look at what Paul says in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how much? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, He didn't leave anything out there. Every spiritual blessing He's blessed us with. So God has, in that way, prospered us spiritually by helping us along life's journey. For there is not a soul here that has the ability to make that journey on our own. Every single one of us needs God's help in that journey. And thus, Paul urges us to keep in mind, to keep in view God's mercy as God is helping us along in this journey. And as we do that, does that not require a response from us? The response being that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. Okay? A living sacrifice. And then finally, we reap what we sow. We're talking about this giving. Let's talk about the financial blessings first. We reap whatever we sow. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Okay? So whatever we sow, okay, that's going to determine what we're going to get back. How much we sow. Okay? He goes on to say, each of you should give what you have determined in your heart to give. Not under compulsion. For God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. In other words, God doesn't want us giving because we have to. And by the way, that means everything in our life. God does not want have to from us. He wants want to. And there's a big difference between the attitude of the heart and mind in those two. If we do what we have to do and only what we have to do, that's not much. But when we do what we want to do, okay, that's a big deal to God because that comes from the heart. All right? He goes on to say this, and God is able to make, now notice this, here's that word that we keep running across. All grace abound to you, so that in how many things? All things. At how many times? All times. Having how much? All that you need, you will abound in every good work. Okay? All. You see, God is a God of all. He doesn't leave any gaps. He doesn't leave anything out. So we need to make sure that we don't leave anything out as we give back to Him. Whether that's financially giving or whether it is of ourselves. Verse 15 here. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. That's another part of falling under that category of do you believe Him? This is a promise from God. Do you believe Him? Okay. What if God decided to bless you with income based on your giving? In other words, instead of you looking at how much you're giving and then deciding how much do I have left at the end of the month or the end of the week, and I've got more month than I do money, and let me see, okay, this is what I can give today because I just got all these bills I have to pay and so forth. What if God decided to, based on whatever you give, to turn that around and bless you with a 10%, multiply that by 10%, and that would be your income? Okay, now just think about that for a moment. Okay, if you took whatever your giving was and you multiplied it by 10%, that would be your weekly income. Here's a question for you. Would your income increase or decrease based on that formula? Just something to think about. Okay? Well, that's financially. How about eternally? Okay? God promises to bless us eternally, spiritually. We're going to reap whatever we sow. Same law. Right? If we sow to our sinful nature, we will reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. It's about sowing and reaping. If we sow or give our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, keeping God's mercy in view, and we're going to reap eternal life. Okay? Because you reap what you sow. It's a law. Right? So it's not just about giving of our money, but it's about giving of ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. When we keep God's mercy in view, what He has done for us, shouldn't be any obstacle to us giving ourselves to Him as that living sacrifice that He wants. So what if? What if you just started giving as you've been prospered, both physically and spiritually? What if you just started doing that? Okay, what would happen? What would change in your life if you started giving financially and spiritually as you've been prospered? What would you start doing differently? In view of God's mercy, what would you start doing differently? What if one opportunity to change your life? And as we said last week, you have that opportunity right now. Okay? Because again, it's one opportunity because you're not guaranteed another one. Okay? None of us is guaranteed even to make it home today. That's the reality of life. So you have an opportunity right now to change whatever it is that you need to change in your life, and especially in this area of giving, not just financially, but spiritually. You have this opportunity. Wes has a song that he's chosen for us to sing as an invitation song, and I want you to be thinking about, as we're singing this song, what are you giving to God, both financially and spiritually? Are you giving what you need to be giving out of your income, as you've been prospered? But even more importantly, are you giving of yourself in view of God's mercy as He has prospered you spiritually? And maybe if you look at those questions and you answer yourself, no, I'm really not, then the first thing I'd urge you to do is repent. And then be committed to giving to God what He deserves, both of your means financially and of your spiritual life. You need help with that? You need guidance, teaching, whatever it might be. It's financial teaching and guidance. We've got Dale here that's one of the things he does. If that's what you need, we want to provide it for you. There's someone here who's not a Christian yet. You haven't given your life to Christ. This may be your one opportunity to do that. And that opportunity is available to you. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And Jerry will be right up front with me. So let's stand together and sing. Wes?